So we have the joy of baptism day, always a lovely occasion in the church when we bring Joshua forward and we'll sprinkle him with water and oil and baptize him. I don't know how you found it. One of the hardest things you have when you find you're having a child is choosing names for them. Did you find that? Hours. Did you get big lists of what you're going to go for and what could work, what couldn't?
Negotiations.
Yeah. Negotiations. Yeah, negotiations where you always say yes. That's how it works. It's a real struggle that names are really key. And one of the most difficult things you have to choose when you have a baby. I really invested in this because I bought a book. But I didn't buy any book. I bought a book that was on discount sale at the works. But that wasn't quite enough. So I actually bought a book that was second-hand, having been on discount sale from the works, so about 50p online. That's how much I invested in the importance of choosing a name for our daughter. But names are important because we attach so much to them. And it's difficult to know what each child's going to grow up, what they're going to be like, what they're going to do. So choosing a name feels really significant. And you can choose names for all sorts of different reasons. Because of the meanings they have. James comes from the Hebrew for Jacob, which means he supplanted, which isn't actually a very good meaning for a name, isn't it? The supplanter. Sounds quite ominous, doesn't it? Here I am, vicar of the church, somehow, anyway. So let's see, let's ask some people, tell me your names, and I'm going to flick through my really bargain basement book, and I'll tell you what it means. Go on. Ollie, right. So that's Oliver properly, isn't it, when you're misbehaving? Let's see. This takes a while. Just build the tension. Olivia. Oliver. In the old French legend, Oliver was one of Charlemagne's greatest knights. Have you heard of Charlemagne? Deary me, what are they doing at school these days? Since these knights were of Frankish origin, this is a really long one. This goes on and on. So basically, they think it comes from the Scandinavian Olaf, which means heir of his ancestors. However, people probably associate it more with the olive tree, a symbol of peace. So there we go. Oliver was popular until the parliamentary revolt led by Oliver Cromwell in the 17th century, after which the name fell out of favour somewhat. So there we go. We've got it all. It can mean olive tree, it can mean heir, or people can think of Oliver Cromwell and perhaps not be so good about it. But do you like Oliver? Good name? Fantastic. Let's have another. Rain. Oh, let's see. Let's see if it's in the book. I have to say, I did go for the really cheap short version. I didn't get the full book. Rain isn't here, but it sounds a lovely thing, doesn't it? Rain, refreshing, lovely, those sorts of images. That's a nice thing, and it's a lovely name. Do you like it? Good stuff. Let's try again. Who else we got?
Daniel.
You are older than me. Where are we? Daniel. Meaning God has judged. The name of the Old Testament prophet, but you knew that, didn't you? Fantastic. It was found in England before the Norman conquest, but only amongst priests and monks. Do you fancy being a priest or a monk? It's not a bad life, I tell you. You only work one day a week, you know. Monday through to Saturday, you sit in a deck chair. It's pretty good. Go for one more. Let's try. Who have we got here? Serena, you told me that earlier. I remembered, but I have to get to Philly. Let's see. Where are we? Serena. It's from the Latin meaning calm and serene. Do you feel calm and serene? Not where everyone's looking at you, I bet, but there we go. Lovely names. You pick names because they mean things. Sometimes you might pick them because of people we know who are inspirational. They might be relatives or people who have been important in life. Very often you don't pick a name because it reminds you of someone. You think, I can't call them that because I shall ever think of them. And that would be untenable, wouldn't it? And sometimes you just pick a name because you like the sound of it. And my parents picked James because they thought, that's a nice name, it sounds good. They couldn't decide. And they thought, we don't know anyone called James. It's quite an uncommon name, we'll go for that. Turned out to be the most popular name of 1987. Everyone, other person in my class growing up was a James. So Joshua's got two names, hasn't he, this morning? We've got Kenneth, which is a good Scottish name. It's your dad's name. It's a fantastic name. It's lovely. And apparently, it means handsome, which I'm sure... I need to say no more. Good genes are going to run through. We'll be okay there. And then we've got Joshua, which means the Lord saves. And often we choose names for those good and hopeful reasons, because we want quality seen in life. We want Joshua to be kept safe and also to be quite handsome, I would think. And I think he's got every chance of doing quite well in that stakes. But names can have other connotations and other meanings that we don't always quite go along with. So in the Old Testament, Joshua is the conqueror of Israel. He's the one who leads the Israelites across the Jordan into the land of Israel, and they claim it for themselves. You know, the walls of Jericho fall, even though Jericho didn't have walls in those days. We'll skip over that. Things like that happen. Joshua is one of the inspirational people in the history of Israel, showing you that this is the land for the Israelite people. It's theirs and nobody else's. And that, inadvertently, through history, has led to tensions. We look today at Jerusalem and see that it's a place which is far from peaceful. If you visited there, it's a wonderful and beguiling city. But there are police and military on every corner, and you'll frequently see people being arrested, carted off from demonstrations, and things like that. And that's what Jesus is speaking about in our gospel reading this morning. It's an odd gospel. It's set for today. It's not really a baptism-appropriate one. But there's something there in that Jesus laments over Jerusalem, a place where things have gone wrong, where the good people are being stoned by the authorities. And it shows that often, for all the hope we have in this world, sometimes good intentions and good hopes can go wrong because of the world around us. The whole point of Joshua going into the land was that God has given this land if we keep to God's commandments and God's rules. And then the whole history of the Old Testament is showing how people fail to do that quite spectacularly. But that turns from we've been given this land as a gift and it's a good thing into this is our land, not yours, which is the attitude, or one of many, which leads to the tensions and difficulties we see in Jerusalem today. It's something perhaps we've seen reflected this week in the tragedies in Christchurch, where fear, where worries about what is ours, where worries about other people coming and taking that, has led to some very extreme and terrible behaviour. It's perhaps the worst aspects of humanity. Despite our good intentions, things can go awry. We are caught up in an imperfect world, and for all the hope and things we have, things can go wrong. So, with Joshua, there's also a second... Has he woken up? Hello, we're talking about you. Yeah, you're going to be handsome. You're going to be all right, aren't you? So, there is a second string to Joshua. In Hebrew, it's Yehoshua. And the shortening, which was very popular, is Yeshua. And of course, if you translate Yeshua into Greek, what do you get? What's the answer always in church? Fantastic. Notice it's the visitors who chimed in, not the regulars. I think we might have to work on our teaching here a bit. Jesus, exactly. We have that letter from Paul to the church in Philippi. And what he's talking about is how important it is that in everything we do, we imitate Christ, not by looking like him, by wearing robes and sandals and speaking Aramaic and having a beard, not that he probably did, and those sort of things. But actually, the way Christ lived, the way Christ took himself around the world, the way he showed us how to be true, to be just, to love and care for others, the way actually in this reading he boldly calls out the hypocrisy, he calls out the fear that's in Jerusalem, that's in the Pharisees, that's in Herod as king. Even though that's got a cost to himself, ultimately. He does all that because it's right and because it's true. And Paul's message is very simple, that to live a life which is truly human, which has all the things we would want and hope for when we have a baby, to see that grown in the life, the answer is to be more like Christ in all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we think. And baptism today is the first step in doing that, in following Jesus, the one who shows us what it means to be actually fully human, fully alive in God, to truly live up to the hope that we have in those names, to be the one whom God saves, the one who is handsome. All those hopes and aspirations we have, they come fully into being, we believe, when we're followed most like Christ. And that's what we're doing today in baptism. We're setting Joshua on the path with the help of God, that he will grow into all that his name contains, but much more knowing he'll do that with the help and with the love and with the support of God. Goodness, he's shiny, isn't it? That's fantastic. And that's what we all do as Christians in Lent. This is meant to be a time of very serious of penance and things like that, but also it's a time to think, how can we be more Christ-like? How can we truly be good news for the world? How can God help us to be the people we should be? That's how today's slightly obscure readings relate to baptism, I hope. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.